Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Andrew Shechtman Blog Talk Radio Show on every day and every evening, usually at 6:30, sometimes at 8, sometimes at 9:30, 10 or 11, and today we're having a 3:30 show, starting a little late. And this show is a show of honest intellectual thought, of discernment, of thinking, of critical thinking, and we do not go along with the big lie of media falsehoods, or political rhetoric. We eschew and we reject those concepts and are not concerned with them. We're concerned with truth and facts, and that's all. Today I'm going to speak about repentance. It's a Christian concept, and I think people don't talk about it today too much in the church. But I'm going to talk about repentance. And before I do that, I'm going to tell you the basis of this show, the three-pronged basis of this show, where I am coming from in this show. Then we'll go on for the concept of repentance. This show is literary. I love great books like War and Peace and Milton's Paradise Lost and E.M. Foster's Passage to India and Howard's End by E.M. Foster. I love great books and I treasure them. And I want to know them, and this show is concerned with thinking and great books. This show is a Christian show. I'm concerned with Christian concepts, and I welcome all faiths of all kinds, whether Muslim, whether Hindu, whether Buddhist, because I know the face of Jesus' love is directed to all races and nations in the world. So this is a Christian show, and it has a Christian emphasis, and I welcome all, however, to this show, I welcome the love of Christ, which is offered to all men and women, without question. Next, I have a political slant on this show. I generally conservative in certain issues, such as abortion and gay marriage, but I believe that women who have an abortion and our gay dear friends are most welcome to this show, and they are welcome to Christ's love. And as I said previously many times on this show, as it was said in Timothy, the Epistle of Timothy, that Jesus welcomes all and wants all men and women to be saved and have the joy of heaven and love of Christ forever and ever. So he's quite a very important. This is a very important show, and I'm concerned with politics in the sense that I am conservative, but I would note that I'm very concerned to follow the direction of Christ toward poverty and poor people. Very concerned with that, and more concerned with following the directions of Christ than any political party. And let me now go on to, those are the three prongs of this show, which you should know about. And next, I will talk about my background and explain it. This is a politically incorrect show. We don't go in for political correctness. We get for honest intellectual thought, honest discernment, and in every way. And we are not concerned with media falsehoods or political rhetoric or the big lie. We are concerned with none of those things. We are concerned with getting at the truth through critical thinking. Next, I wish you to know that I'm a Christian, and I follow the creeds of the Church, the Apostles and Nicene Creed and Athanasian Creed, and I follow the truth of Holy Scripture from beginning to end, from Genesis to Revelation. And if I read a book, I'll read C.S. Lewis, I'll read G.K. Chesterton, I'll read Bonhoeffer, I'll read Calvin, I'll read Luther, I'll read St. Augustine, I read the epistles of Paul. These are the people that I read, because these are the great thinkers in the world. Whoever you may name them, these are the people that I want to read and want to know about. Next, as I say, I have a conservative political slant on this show, but I'm very, very, even though I oppose abortion and gay marriage, I love my dear women who may have an abortion and my dear gay friends who may marry with the same sex, but I value them. I love them. I know that Jesus died for them, every one of them, every generation, and that he welcomes our gay friends into heaven, the joy and love of Christ in heaven. And I welcome them and love them and want to know them. And I have no issue with their particular lifestyle. I may disagree with it, but I love our all races, all nations Jesus died for and gave his life for. And therefore, this is what I believe and what I believe in. Next, I have two, as I said, I have a podcast radio show. I don't use it that much, but I have a blog talk radio show, and this is a Christian orientation show. And as I said before, there are many people from Muslim countries that visit this blog talk radio show. People from all over the world visit us, every country you can imagine. And in addition, I'm pleased to say my dear Muslim friends visit this show continually in every way. I welcome them, I love them, and I know that Jesus died for them and gave his life for them and cast down his life on the cross for all men and women, irrespective of their race, national origin, or their religious belief. They're welcome, I love them, and I'm very happy that my dear Muslim and Hindu friends visit this Blog Talk Radio show, which has a Christian orientation. I want to add that I have a very close friend in Iran, a philosophy student, that is very, very enthusiastic about my Christian books. These people are very intelligent, and believe me, intelligent people are to be treasured and gained. People who are not intelligent, who do not use their minds, they may be, I can't say what their fate will be, but they're not contributing to our society in any stretch of the imagination, at least in the use of their intellects. This is why I love people, and I treasure them for the use of their minds and their contribution, intellectual contributions to society. These are the greats. These are the significant people. These are the people that matter, because they are contributing their thinking to the world. In addition, I wish to say that I'm a writer. I've written 10 books, Christian books and legal books. I've written 2 legal books, Select Legal Topics, Volumes 1 and 2. I've written Christian books, Essays in the Christian Worldview, Essays in Faith, Culture, Politics, and Philosophy, and a book on the parables. This book analyzes and interprets all 41 parables in the Gospels. I urge you, you may not want to read my books, but I suggest you read those parables. They are the words and thoughts of Christ in every way, and you cannot stop reading them because of their great intellectual value. They are the thought and mind of God and Christ. I've also recently written a book on the Psalms, interpreting 150 Psalms. The Psalms are the spiritual treasures of the church. They are great lyric Hebrew poetry of the Jewish nation. They're great lyric poetry. They are beautiful. They're great. I suggest you read them and read them again. You can't stop reading them. They are so great. In addition, they are great spiritual treasures in every way. And as spiritual treasures and as lyric poetry, they have great value. I say that read the Psalms, read the parables, and don't stop reading them till you have your mind has risen above the mundane factors of our society, until you have become raised up. What you want to do with any great book, whether War and Peace, whether Howard's End by E.M. Foster, or T.S. Eliot, whatever book you can imagine that's worthwhile, this book can raise you up. That is the purpose of the book, to raise you from the ground where you're presently residing. If you want to be on the ground, that's your decision. But being on the ground will bring you down, down, down to darkness and ignorance, where that will be your choice. And the choice, and if you don't give these books to your children, to the kind of books I'm talking about, it will bring them down to zero, which is not what you want. There's a great book by Mortimer Adler that I read, How to Read a Book, and he said that images as opposed to print are drugs, and that we shouldn't read images such as television, look at television or computers or images at all. They're drugs, and he said they read books that will stretch your mind and raise you up. That's what you want, to be raised up, not to be brought down. To be brought down is to destroy our society and destroy yourself and destroy your families by bringing your children down to ground zero or the kingdom of darkness, darkness and ignorance. If that's what you want for your kids, ladies and gentlemen, you can do that, but be aware of the cost and price of doing that, of remaining in ignorance. It will gain you nothing and will destroy your family in every way. If you want anything for your kids, you won't give them ignorance and darkness. If you do, you'll be doing a big mistake, a big disservice. That's what you want. That's fine. Okay? I'm a writer. I've written other books. I'm preparing a book on my blogs, theological, and current events. There will be four books in my blogs. I've written a book on the paternity, a chapter on paternity in New York family law and practice. I'm writing four books of my blogs, as I mentioned to you, philosophical, theological, and other topics, current events. I am writing a book on the miracles in the Bible. I've written one chapter, and I'm writing other chapters. And this book will soon be completed, I hope. I hope it'll be contribution to society, because you cannot read the Bible and understand the profundity and depth of biblical thinking without accepting the miraculous. If you don't accept miracles in the Bible, you are wasting your time. Go back to the New York Times. Go back to CNN. Go back to the New York Post if you want to waste your time and bring your children down to zero. You read the Post with them and you will destroy them. Read the Bible with them and you will raise them up as they should be raised up, which is the purpose of a great book, which is to raise people up and bring them up and not to allow them to be pulled down by ignorance and darkness, which seems to rule our society almost entirely. I've written a book on evidence, A Res Gestae, and Bender's Consolidated Evidence. I've written a chapter in New York Jurisprudence on Criminal Law, Demands and Notices. Bender's Consolidated Evidence and New York Jurisprudence are both legal encyclopedias, well worth reading those chapters in them. And I've written three law review articles, one in the Syracuse Law Review on criminal procedure, which has been brought by the United States Supreme Court and the State Department. It's been been purchased by many, 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 many libraries throughout universities throughout the world. And also, I have written two articles on Academicus, an Albanian scientific journal on the United States educational system, critiquing it and its failure to bring our children truth and honest thinking. And also, I've written a book on sexual orientation discrimination, a chapter in Academicus, an Albanian scientific journal. I oppose any kind of discrimination. I may not agree with the gay lifestyle, but I want them loved. I want them treasured. And I do not want them hurt or pained by anybody in this world. If anybody who does that isn't a friend of mine, I don't want to be. I don't want to know that best person who discriminates and has hate in his mind toward any group. I know that Jesus loves everyone, died for all men, and I know that I want to be in heaven with my gay friends, every one of them. I want to be in heaven with them, and I want to be in heaven with my Hindu friends and Buddhist friends and Islamic friends. Jesus welcomes them in his love and died for them, and wishes to be with him, wishes all races and nations to be with him in the joy of heaven. I'm now going to talk about the topic of this show, which is repentance. Now, repentance as a concept in Christianity posits and means a sort of admission of wrongdoing on the part of the person repenting and general remorse in that admission. It really means, posits and means, an admission of wrongdoing and general remorse in that admission. Hence, people are told by the church to repent of their sins. Repenting is not excusing and put aside a sin. It is an internal admission of remorse, which is a concept in the Christian religion. Certainly, repentance means remorse. It means coming to terms with your sin and repenting of it and giving and facing up to it. So it's an admission of wrongdoing on the part of the person repenting and general remorse in that admission. And so people are told by the church to repent of their sins. Doesn't mean it excuses and put aside. It's an internal admission of remorse and facing up to our sin in the West. I think that repentance, since Western societies were Christian in their original structure, has been a very significant factor in the world. I think Western societies, being Christian in their original structure, repentance was a very significant factor in society. For example, after the Holocaust, the German government did pay reparations to Jewish families. I make no critical statement of any other society which Jesus treasures and loves all men and women, but the Japanese government and citizens have not come to terms or made amends for their awful atrocities they committed during World War II. The Japanese have never apologized for their brutal treatment of Chinese and Korean during the Second World War. And the issue of Korean comfort women and the rape of Nanking in China come to mind. So the West, in terms of the German government, did repent and sought to make amends, financial amends, but the Japanese government failed to face up or make amends at all in the same fashion that the German government did for the awful atrocities they committed, and have never repented of their brutal treatment of Chinese and Korean women during the Second World War, and the issues of Korean comfort women and the rape of Nanking in China. So I have to say, ladies and gentlemen, that the West repents of its sins, as you see with the German government doing reparations and the Japanese government doing nothing. I don't criticize the Japanese. They're wonderful people. Jesus died for them and loves them, and I love them too. But the facts are the facts, and the German government did repent and paid reparations, and the Japanese did not. The Turkish government has refused to take responsibility for the Armenian genocide. Again, an example of an Eastern country not repenting for their sins, and they have refused to take any responsibility for the Armenian genocide. It's also was significant that after the Salem witch trials, the judges who were responsible for these trials publicly repented. Again, an example of the West and Christian society repenting of their sins. After the Salem witch trials, the judges who were responsible for these trials did, in fact, repent for their evil actions. The Turkish government refuses to do that, but the judges in the Salem witch trials publicly repented. The English slave trade was ended by a Christian, William Wilberforce. Again, William Wilberforce was a repentant sinner who ended the slave trade, the English slave trade, and the New England churches. It was the New England churches, Christians, that led to the abolitionist movement for some years against slavery. So you might say that Western societies grow and evolve, and Christian societies like America repent and modify and change. I'm not criticizing other societies and systems, nor do I know enough to comment on how they work. I know Jesus died for them. I know this much. The West comes to terms with its sins, but I'm not sure that other non-Western societies even have the concept of sin or make any public admissions in that respect or come to terms with it. So that we have to understand, that repentance for your sins is a Christian concept, and non-Christian societies do not seem to do that, whether the Japanese government, and I'm sure Japanese people are good and wonderful people and Jesus died for them, but the government refused to come to terms with their sins in the Japanese comfort women, the Korean comfort women, or the rape of Nanking in China. And the English slave trade was ended by a Christian, and New England churches led the abolitionist movement for the elimination of slavery. So you might say that Western societies repent and modify and change. I don't criticize other societies and systems, nor do I know enough to comment on them, how they work. And I love them, and I know these people, Jesus died for them and loves them. But I know this much, and this is a fact. The West comes to terms with its sins, but I'm not sure that other societies even have the concept of sin and moral wrongdoing or make any public admissions of that wrong. They don't seem to, whether the Turkish government or Japanese government. I'd like to make another comment here. It's somewhat significant that under the Christian belief system, Christ will accept a last minute or even last second act of repentance before death. And this seems unfair for the righteous and good person who has led a perfect, blameless life. He gets no more reward than the truly wicked person who at the last second of death repents. This is a concept that's very, very important and to understand the Christian belief system. And it's something significant that Christ will accept a last second or last minute act of repentance before death by a totally evil person in their lives. This seems unfair for the righteous and the good person who has led a perfect life. He gets no more reward than the fully wicked person at the last second of death who repents. I think the reason for this, we have to understand that God is not human. His thinking is different. I can only say that the love of Christ for every human being is very, very deep and profound. And Christ's love is so great for every human being who has ever lived or will live that he will accept that person in the last second of their lives. He will afford the one who repents the same eternal life and joy that he affords to the person who has lived a completely good and blameless life. So this is a situation that is very difficult to understand why God would take this position, but he does. Christ will accept a last second or last minute act of repentance before death. And this seems unfair for the righteous and good person who has led a blameless life. That person gets no more reward than the fully wicked person with the last second of death repents. And I can only say that the love of Christ and the reason for this and his love for every human being is so profound and is so great for every human being who has ever lived or will live, that he will accept that person at the last second of his life and will afford the one who repents the same eternal life and joy that he affords to the person who lived a good and blameless life. How can we accept this? How can we understand this? I can only say that the value Christ and God set on every human being is so great that he will accept that person who has been fully evil in their lives at the last second. In short, Christ wants all human beings to be with him and have a relationship with him, and will deny no one that chance, even at the last second. Fully evil and fully evil person who repents gains entrance into heaven and the joy and love of Christ. It seems unfair, but God is very, very desirous that all men be saved and that he share with them his eternal life and love. We do not know and cannot know whether Hitler or Stalin repented at the last second. If they did, and this repentance was genuine, they are now with Christ along with St. Francis and the disciples. I hope you've enjoyed this little talk about repentance and try to see how what it means in some sense. And I hope that you have enjoyed this talk, and I hope that I may have the opportunity to speak again on these issues, which are extremely significant. These are earthbound, earth-shaking issues, and many people don't care. Well, if they don't care, that is their deficiency of thinking, if they do any thinking. You don't do any thinking, you don't care. When you do use your mind, I'm afraid that you have the opportunity to care. Those people who do not think will be in darkness and the kingdom of darkness forever and ever at the bottom of the world. I can only say that for your children, I say bring them up to the level they deserve to be, not to the level of ignorance and darkness. Don't let anybody in your family remain in darkness, but raise them up in thinking and stretch their minds. As Mortimer Adler says in his book, How to Read a Book, and you give your children the chance to stretch and develop their minds and to be raised up, which is the purpose of thinking and a good book and books. Books raise people up. I urge you to bring your children to the library, have them read, and don't let them stop reading the great books, not the books of politics, not the political lies, but the books that mean truth, that bring them truth and honest discernment and intellectual honesty. I hope you've enjoyed this talk. Good night.